Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home, and we would love to hear from you. So send us your email with a question or comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, we're excited to have back with us today Dr. Blythe Kaufman. She is an endodontist, a professor of dental medicine, but she's also the founder of the Children's Rosary, which you've seen here on EWTN. It's a beautiful international prayer movement. And she has authored a book entitled A Soul Prepared Through Suffering. And this beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. And the book is really, it's a retreat, right? So
that's
it's
right.
A daily retreat that you get to take through suffering. As beautiful as that is, it's kind of like, how do I make a retreat out of my suffering? Well, that's what God wants to do, because he wants to teach you life lessons through when we experience the darkness of our own soul at times. And it's beautifully written.
Yes.
It's a page, maybe a page and a half, which when you're going through times of deep suffering, you don't want to read much. You're not capable of reading much. And maybe you could take in a paragraph or something small, but it's beautiful knowledge, beautiful wisdom shared with you through the journey, and she leads so well. So I strongly encourage you, if you or a family member is going through a time of suffering, to get this book and make a retreat out of it. Let God bring beauty out of the ashes and where the place that you find yourself.
If it's a paragraph or two, that's it
yeah.
on each one. And then a time of silence for mm-hmm. a few minutes and just being before the face of the Lord and letting him do what he wants to do. It's good not only for those that are personally suffering, but for whole families that are suffering and in pain because of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't take care of caretakers or those that are hurting. And this would really be very, very helpful for those going through the experience, those who are united with other people and they're really suffering with them. A soul prepared through suffering. One way or another, God's going to prepare us. Many mm-hmm. times it's through suffering. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. We're excited to have with us Dr. Blythe Kaufman. She is an endodontist and a professor of dental medicine. She also is the founder of the Children's Rosary, a beautiful international prayer mm-hmm. movement. And she has authored this wonderful book entitled A Soul Prepared Through Suffering. And it's available at EWTNRC.com. And you can go out to our website, childrensrosaryretreat.com or childrensrosary.org. Well, we want you to tell our family in the writing of this book how you experienced suffering, but how the Lord changed your view from suffering to one of affliction to grace. So let our family in into the window of your own soul and where he did his great work.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely a very dear topic to me, one that I feel that the Lord's really spoken to me and worked through so much using the instrument of suffering. So just to take you kind of the arc of how this has transformed, which is at age 30, I was finishing up residency training, having become a dentist, and then 3 extra years of specializing in endodontics, which is root canal surgeries. And at that point, I was feeling pretty much like, I've got this. You know, I've got a lot of training behind me, and I was married, I was financially looking like we had a good future ahead of us, and we just purchased a home, we were expecting our first child. And it seemed like I had everything falling into place. Well, while I was pregnant, I was diagnosed with a genetic problem that affects my collagen, and ultimately, the geneticist said, we don't recommend pregnancy, you're gonna see a huge decline. That would involve dislocations, my hands, different other parts of my body. It might reverse, it might not. Or to some extent get better, it might not. And in my case, it was pretty permanent, although I've had a little bit of improvement over the last several years. But what that really meant for me was that I started to have injuries that prevented me from doing like basic things, like putting on my shoes. I mean, here I'm this person who's doing surgery. I need my husband to squeeze out the toothpaste. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't shake hands at church. I mean, just all these kinds of things. And at one point I had to have a lot of injections done through my body to try to stabilize me and create some scarring. And I remember getting all these injections and just thinking, you know, is this what my life's become? Mm. I mean, like, did I just draw a bad lot? And this is can I go on like this? And I was just crying and just self-pity, really. Jump 10 years and there's a lot that's gone on, but mm-hmm. I'm off to Africa doing a trip that I never thought I could do, and I needed to have the same procedure done. And I went into it like, yes, I need to have this done for my body, but I need to, this is the currency of souls. Mm. And so I went in and he's like, are you able to keep going? And there were tears coming, but they were of joy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of look at the same procedure being done about 10 years apart, what changed? And mm-hmm. and basically it was this journey, and that's kind of where I give that, the whole perspective through this retreat is like, how do you get there? And what does that look like? And one of the big pivotal moments for me was I was already on my road to becoming, you know, daily mass and all the rosaries and all the different things, and still I wasn't fully there. And our Lord's pushing me, go further, go further. How, Lord? How? I don't know how. I feel like I'm doing everything. And then he took something that was so pivotal in my life, which was a physical therapist who had been kind of resetting my hands and really knew what he was doing. And all of a sudden he was going to be moving on to work with a professional baseball team. And on my walk home on the ice, I slip and fall, which was my worst nightmare. And I really stuck on the ice, stuck in this mud, and ultimately I had to face my worst fears. And I found that someone else came across me and helped me up by grabbing on my pants and pulling me up, which I had almost no part of my body that someone could touch and put any force through. And I realized, like, I'm still here. Mm. Our Lord took care of me. He took care of everything. And it was that trust. Mm. It was the pivotal part was the trust. Mm. And so that's what I didn't have at the first injections, is that I didn't have the trust that our Lord's with me and he knows the best of it. At the end, I had a foundation of trust. And so I knew whatever I'm going through, he's with me. And just in the last year and a half, my husband had a life-threatening stroke. And when the news came, he dissected his carotid that, yeah, he might not make it. And, you know, my children and everything. My son and I, we just looked at each other and we're like, whether he's dead, permanently disabled, alive, our Lord knows the best of it. And he had prepared us for that moment. And I knew that, and we were just finishing up with this book, and I knew that that was our last, you know, it was the test to say, you get it, you know it, you know, this is, he's got everything. Mm-hmm. And when we think that we, you know, that we're in control, then we haven't probably gone through enough of the preparation.
Well, and I think, thank you for sharing that beautiful story of hard-lived suffering that you went through. But I think the grand illusion of life is that we are in control. And the grand illusion is that I got this. Where our every breath comes from him. If he wants to take away our breath, he can take away our breath. But it's the surrender where we have to live in a place, in a state of constant God's will, God's way. Lord, whatever you're doing, I don't understand. If this is suffering unto death, suffering that's just going to be a chronic illness throughout my life, you are going to use it to form me and to transform me into the woman that you desire me to be. And he uses everything. That's the beautiful way about him. Like, nothing is lost. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And for even you and your son, Asher, even with your husband going through, there was deep foundation laid. You know what I mean? But it comes at a great cost. And sometimes if we... Our human nature is to repel it, dismiss it, medicate it, why is this happening to me? We take God out of the equation and we look for all the solutions of the world to solve it, and nothing is going to solve it except the surrender and the trust and the faith and the hope that God is in charge.
Mm-hmm. Which is what Our Lady did. Mm-hmm. You know, the angel came to her and shared with her about what was going on. And probably she just said, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not sure I get all this. That's a little addition. Okay, let it be done to me according to your word. I trust. Mm-hmm. And we all got to get to that point sooner or later. Like you said, maybe earlier in life when you really go through something. This is horrendous. This is whatever. I trust you. That's a nice lesson to learn early on, and it's going to approach you again. But I hear Mary in this, Our Lady in this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think our Blessed Mother is a wonderful role model for us in this journey of suffering. I mean, if there's any question that our Lord shares suffering with those that are dear to Him, look at Our Lady. Mm-hmm. Our Lady, who was often shown with you know, swords piercing her heart with her seven dolors. And so you think, why did our Lord share that suffering? Why was she at the foot of the cross watching this? And why is there's so many graces available to us under the title of Our Lady of Sorrows? When you use that title, it opens up a huge avenue of intercessory prayer through Our Lady, and graces flowing because of what she went through. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, absolutely.
You mentioned on day 18, of your 40 teachings that are just so tremendous, Saint Therese. And Therese was going through a particular time of suffering due to her father's illness. She says, precious and sweet was the bitter cross, and our hearts only breathed out sighs of grateful love. We no longer walked, we ran, mm-hmm. we flew along the path of perfection. So speak about this aspect of suffering, how this aspect of suffering can accelerate the way of sanctity.
Absolutely. So some of the things that are shared in here are allegory based, and I found that our Lord helps to explain things when we look around us. And one of my walks to church, actually it happened a number of days, and so it was kind of reiterated over and over again, is that when I was walking to church, there were all these worms on the sidewalk, and it hadn't rained, and I was like, what are all these worms? And in my disabled state, I couldn't help a lot of people, but I could help a worm off of the pavement. So I started picking them up and putting them on the side. And I noticed something really interesting about these worms, is that when they were just out there, you know, this is a pretty bad situation. I mean, uncertain at best, but most of the time, these worms never make it to the other side. They're not really meant to be on a hot pavement in the sun. Mm-hmm. But when they just headed out, and I wanted to help them, I tried to get them up. They would bat and they would flip and they would do all these things. And I couldn't help them. So I'd start like hitting them with a stick or with my foot, much more disruptive thing for them, still wouldn't help. So eventually I had to leave them there, like probably going to lead to their demise. But some I would find, they were in a different state. They'd been sitting there in the beating sun. And I would go to help them and there was no fighting. Mm-hmm. And I just put them in the best possible spot, in the shade and the grass. And I thought, yeah, that's really a great imagery for us, is that you would think we would always accept help, that we'd always want to go towards sanctity, but often we want to just do our own thing, and so we fight our Lord. But the longer that we wait in the sun and the baking, the more we become docile to the will of our Lord, and that is really accelerates us on the road to sanctity, is when we die to ourselves, we surrender our will, and we just embrace the will and what our Lord wants to do with us. And that suffering is probably the fastest I've seen of something to mold you into holiness. Mm-hmm. I've also seen children that are particularly receptive to growing in holiness very quickly. And so, and that kind of comes out in the book too, about our wood as the substrate. It's the allegory is a fire, and we are the wood. And so we come to this fire in a different way, either little twigs, almost like you'd start a fire, or bigger wood, or green stick wood as like a teenager. So you think about teenagers, they start to think they know everything. So those are particularly hard to burn. You know, if we're using the allegory of a fire, is the love of Christ consuming us. Yeah. And so He increases, we decrease, and He's pervading us with this fire. Mm. So the way we come to Him, so young souls, innocent souls, they burn right up. And even start fires on bigger pieces of wood. you know, teenagers in particular, I'm thinking of, they need a lot more time drying in the sun because they, you know, in error, they think they know everything. Mm-hmm.
It's well said.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your beautiful book on day 25, you quote from Elizabeth Lazor, and she says, "When Providence prefers to work by means of suffering, I think we should not complain too much. For we can then be sure that the work will be well done and not mixed up with the misery of egotism and pride that sometimes spoils so much of our outward activity." Can you tell our family a little bit about this quote from Elizabeth?
Well, I think we're all called to a mission. The Lord's trying to accomplish something in us. And in order to set out, a lot of times he gives us the tools and the protection that we need in order to accomplish that. And I felt particularly that in my own life, when the Lord was calling me to work with children in the Children's Rosary, that was, you know, kind of put an X on my back in the sense of, like, you know, spiritual warfare and all that stuff. But he gave me a really great gift, which was suffering. It's an armor of humility. And I think all of us, when we experience suffering, we get that gift. Because we have to ask for help with so many things. And that actually makes the work that we're doing give more glory to God. Mm-hmm. So when the Lord sees that you're able to, thinking of a friend who is raising seven beautiful children, and she has a problem sleeping at night. She just can't sleep. And so, you know, she can't have any kind of airs about what's happening. She knows it's by the grace of God that she homeschools and mm-hmm. helps these kids.
And I mean, can function.
And can function mm-hmm. and is an inspiration, I think. Because sometimes you might look at that and say, wow, that mom has everything working. How does she do it? Then you find out she's got this cross and you go, it's just a testament to what the mm-hmm. Lord's doing. It's mm-hmm. just supporting her straight and so many beautiful things coming out of that family. So you see that too, and sometimes when you have children that are suffering or mm. ill or die or something like that, and you see how they've touched so many people around them. So it's interesting the way the Lord will use that and touch other people.
We're going to hold you over for the final segment to get more of the wisdom that you've learned through your own suffering and through the saints. So pray that this is a great help to you, your time of suffering, your suffering for somebody else, a soul prepared through suffering. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Continuing our conversation, a soul prepared through suffering. Blythe, we hear in the Holy Scriptures, St. Paul speaking about filling up the cup of sufferings of our Lord. So what does it mean to offer up, to work with him in his sufferings? And how does that come across? Is it central to your book?
Great, well, thank you. This 40-day retreat, it's unpacking the beauty of suffering, the way that suffering, that our Lord uses it to help to sanctify us, but it also gives you like the practical. How do you offer it up? What do you do? And so for the last, at the end of the retreat, it gives you those examples and then even additional ones at the yes. end. And I give examples for myself from walking to Mass and feeling the wind because I couldn't drive, the wind blowing against me and offering that up to the times when Christ was cold during his passion. And we know he was cold because Peter was warming himself by the fire. And then taking that and asking for something. Lord, I unite my times when I've been cold on this walk to the times when you were cold during your passion so that I may be just consumed by the love of Christ and bring more charity to everything I do or whatever it is that, and it gives examples and you can change those. There's nothing that's set in stone. You can offer up your suffering, a particular type of suffering, the fact that I'm tired, Lord, today, that I united to the time when you were exhausted carrying your cross and that you help me to accomplish all that I need to accomplish, all for the glory of God. And, mm-hmm. and taking those things and just uniting one after the other, times that I'm hot as I'm walking those days, it's like 95 degrees and sweltering as I'm walking to Mass, and the times you were on the cross and you were hot and you were thirsty. And give me patience, Lord. Give me patience because patience is often something I need a lot of help with. So just all these different things. I give those examples so you can weave it into your day. It's not just a one-time offer, but it's woven through your day, so your day becomes a prayer, and you're sanctifying your day, and you're maximizing everything that you're experiencing for the glory of God. And I think that so much of us, we suffer, and I found that this experience has created like a common language. You know, as soon as someone starts to open up to me about suffering, there's a bond. It's almost like we have a mother tongue. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that maybe these people that are out and listening to this, they're going to understand this and want to know more. So I hope they'll dive into this 40-day retreat, and this will be just a lot of source of graces for our Lord and our Blessed Mother in the world.
Well, it's an opportunity, any kind of suffering that we're going through, whether you're the individual going through it or someone in your family, because nothing just happens to you alone, right? If you are suffering, it manifests in your marriage, in your family life, because they're bearing the burden with you. They want you well, they want you whole. And so it becomes that for the whole family to bear. To grow in virtues. There are opportunities that all the virtues that Jesus wants to flourish in our souls come through the beauty of suffering if we would welcome it and make it our friend instead of repelling it and saying, Lord, do your great work in me. Whatever you need to do, Jesus, thy will be done. And then we're totally free. Whether we live or whether we die, or whether we get to have this experience and to say, Lord, increase my light and my salt and my effectiveness for your honor and your glory.
Less than a minute left. Just a closing word to all those watching today who are suffering, who are suffering for others.
Well, suffering is a call. I mean, it's our Lord calling us to draw close to him. And so if he's doing that in your life, then he's got his sights on you.
Beautiful.
Don't fight it, because that actually leads to him having to do more work. So the earlier you surrender, then you're going to see all that he's trying to work in your life. And once you become that docile worm in the hand, he's going to put you in perfect place that is just so perfectly set for you. And so just this is the journey of surrender and then the joy that comes after it.
Boy, thank you so much.
Thank
Great
you.
Closing word. Wonderful book. A Soul Prepared Through Suffering, EW10RC.com. God's preparing you through suffering to be the person and to be on the mission he's called you to be and to have. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of this EW10 family. Bye now.